You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
My name's Nadia. My relationship with Palestine, I guess, is that my dad is Palestinian. My dad was born in the West Bank. And most of my family still live in Palestine. So I've got, my job's one of 17. So I've got a lot of uncles and aunties and cousins, maybe a couple hundred of them, over in the West Bank right now.
And so it's been 50 years since the Israeli occupation of Palestine began. What are the effects of the occupation that you've kind of experienced and witnessed as well?
So I think the key thing for my family and any Palestinians living under a military occupation is that you live under military rule, you live under military law. So you've not got those same... So if you're a settler, if you're an Israeli settler and you live on a settlement in the West Bank, then you have... access to a civil court system. If you're a Palestinian, you're tried under a military court system if anything happens. So I think one of the huge impacts for us has been so many men in our family and so many Palestinian men and women and children have actually been incarcerated, basically without trial. So Israel maintains a right to arbitrarily arrest Palestinians. And imprison them for up to 3 months without a trial, without any conviction. But it's also, I guess there's a lot more to it than that because there's a sort of like matrix of power of a Palestinian life. So you've got checkpoints. Every aspect of your life is controlled, where you can move, whether you can go to school or not, whether you can travel overseas. So pretty much all of my cousins, I think I would probably say, who are a similar age to me or younger, most of them haven't even seen the sea, even though they only live a couple of hours away from it, because they don't have that freedom of movement. They don't have that ability to be able to travel to the coastline. And so many aspects of their life and what they have access to are affected by occupation. It's kind of a strangulation of our daily life, I guess.
A couple of weeks ago, I spoke with the Jewish anti-occupation group, Dayenu, about the conflict and about their group. What do you think that the role of Jewish anti-occupation activism is within the conflict?
Oh, well, it's huge. It's really, really huge. And I think we're seeing a kind of tide turn where Jewish groups on sort of university campuses across the world are coming together. And previously, a lot of these groups had said, look, we stand with Israel. And that had historically been the case in the 70s and the 80s. And there had always been Jewish support for Palestine. There had always been lots of Jews that came out and said, look, we may be Jewish, but we don't believe Israel represents our identity. And to us, actually, our affirmation of Jewish identity is standing for justice and peace and these things. But definitely in the last sort of like couple of years especially, we've seen a real increase in Jewish groups actually organizing in solidarity with Palestine. I think that's awesome. It's great because they play a key role. There are arguments to be had within that community about what it means to be Jewish. Does it mean being Zionist? And they're saying, no, it doesn't. Actually, it means this whole other separate set of things. And I think those are really important discussions for the community to be having. And I really admire the people who are leading those discussions because it's certainly not easy for them. But their work is kind of increasing and gaining momentum. So it's really awesome to see.
And I spoke to them as well. There are a lot of people in Aotearoa and around the world who will say, we have our own problems here in our country. We should be focusing on those first rather than worrying about something happening on the other side of the world. What's your response to that kind of argument?
Oh, well, hell yes, we've got loads of problems here, you know. But I think, and I think one really interesting thing, I've seen a project just coming out of a group of people, Anna Bolter, she's a Jewish anti-occupation activist. She's putting together a kind of, she's looking at the 50-year anniversary with a group of other people, and she's saying, we need to gain some tools for our collective struggle everywhere. So it's not just about Palestine, it's actually making those links to, you know, we live on colonised land here in Aotearoa. We have a legacy of dispossession here. And, you know, in the States, you know, they've got a lot of issues with race and with segregation as well that, you know, people are still overcoming. And I think it's about how we actually see the links between different struggles and people who, you know, for me, the best thing about being Palestinian is being able to understand and empathise with people who have been criminalised and mistreated, and thinking about how we can link up together and what we can do about those things. And it's not just in, you know, over in Palestine, it's all over the world. There are people suffering from oppression. So we really need to be talking about what we can do about that everywhere. And I don't think that's a zero-sum game. So I really don't like that argument. 50 years is too long, which I'm sure any Palestinian would say. But I think that I think and hope that that a lot of the world knows that now, and it's just a matter of resisting and people taking action to do something against Israeli impunity, and people can do that in really small ways as well. It's like not buying Israeli products. So I encourage anyone who's listening and who cares about what's happening to Palestinians just to try and support Palestine in small ways, like boycotting Israeli products and getting involved in organising if they're even more interested.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.